Okay, we're ready for the word. So it's 10:16. How many of you are believing for a quickened word today? Thank you, Jesus. It's now 10:17. That's all right. We're going to just go for it. Are you ready to receive? Our year is double grace, possessing our promises. And I'm excited about the testimony that's unfolding in your life this year as we believe for that for you and your household, that God would just pour out such blessing and such grace in your life, that this would be the year that you possess your promises, the things you've been holding on for, believing for, that there's going to be significant breakthrough in that space in your world this year. But I wanted to speak, and this is my last message of this series, into this theme this year. And the first thing we talked about was His promised grace. And being the year of double grace and possessing our promises, we began the year with a desire to encounter Jesus and encounter Him in such a way that we would receive the gift of grace and the gift of righteousness. And they are gifts, aren't they? Because a gift is a gift because it's a gift. All right, some of you remember. That's good. That's good. And then we moved on to talking about the promise to overcome. When you encounter Jesus, you can't help but realize that He is the reason we can overcome. We don't overcome challenges and situations in our own strength. If we try and do that, it's futile. You'll get tired, you'll get burnt out, you'll be wasted, whatever. But we don't rely on our own strength, but on His. And the cool thing is that we overcome not because of our love for Him, but because of His love for us. And that's powerful when you understand that. We can't please Him. We can't do all the right things and dress the right way and say the right words and God will give us favor. No, God's already made you an overcomer, a conqueror, victorious in every situation because He loves you. And then last time I shared about the great unknown and how when we truly encounter Jesus, our lives are literally transformed forever. Everything is new. And Jesus leads us into this place called the great unknown, and it's by faith that we go. And we talked about Abraham. We're going to touch on him again today in the scripture that I'm about to share. And we talked about how God led Abraham to a new place, but not revealing to him the full details or the full plan or the full timeline. He just said, leave where you are and go. How many of you know it takes faith to take a step and go, well, I don't know where I'm going or where I'm being led, but I'm just going to put one foot in front of the other and by faith, trust that God is going to lead me and guide me. Well, let's get to the word this morning. And I'm reading from the book of Romans. I'm reading the New King James Version today. And it's Romans chapter 4. Verses 17 to 21. Romans chapter 4, verses 17 to 21. It says this, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Thanks for the word today. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. That's old. Anyone 100 years old in the room today? Who's the closest? Probably, I'm guessing, is it Ross? I'm embarrassing, but it could be. He's 80-something, 80-something. Shh. I wasn't actually saying it. But that's all right. You can say it. Anyone here? Nobody heard, right? Anyway, 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. How many of you know their situation looked hopeless? That God gave them a promise. And it's like, yeah, right. We're 100 years old. My womb is barren. And we're going to be the father and mother of multiple nations of people. What the? Anyway, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Abraham had faith in God. Because even though what was being declared as a promise seemed very unusual in the natural, he trusted that God would do what he said he would do. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us we walk by faith and not by sight. Not by what we see, not even by what we feel, but by faith. And lastly, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lord, I pray in the short time that I have left this morning, as we hear your word, Lord, that faith would rise up, that you would stir up within us an overwhelming sense of faith, because you are good, and even though it doesn't look like what you're declaring is going to happen, even though it doesn't feel like what you're declaring is going to happen, we know you are at work, because you are a God that makes his promises, and they are yes and amen. And so we declare, may faith rise in this place today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. When we truly encounter Jesus, everything has changed. Everything is new. And not only do we receive his beautiful double grace and the gift of righteousness into our lives, not only do we receive the amazing ability to overcome in every situation that we face, and it doesn't rely on our love for him, but it completely relies on his love for us, and then we will overcome when we understand that. But not only do we get this unreal opportunity to be taken on a journey into the unknown, where we're not trusting in what we see, but we trust in what we don't see, we now get to live this wonderful life, and it's called having faith in God. What a beautiful life we get to live, having faith in God. Encountering Jesus leads us on a journey into this great unknown. And it's a life not based on what we see, but on what we are believing by faith as God leads us. A life not just governed by the natural mind anymore, but a life that is led by the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us. It's the supernatural. A life is beyond what we can literally understand in our own understanding. It doesn't make sense up here, but that's what faith is. We trust what God says. Abraham, I'm 100 years old. My wife's got a dusty uterus. I don't know, can I say it like that? But that's what she had. And God, you're saying we're going to have nations? We're going to be the father of nations? No, he never doubted, he never wavered, he stood in faith and trusted God at his word. And it's this place called the great unknown that God leads us to. It's called faith in God. So let's just talk about faith just for a moment. We know that without faith it's impossible to please God. But sometimes we make faith really about faith in faith. That's been a journey of the church. You know, you just got to have faith when you're trusting in the faith. But really, our faith comes from trusting in Jesus. And so it's not about having faith in faith, but we need to redirect our thoughts and our thinking to Jesus and cast our thoughts and cares and everything looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. Life isn't really about me trying to work out my faith. It's about realizing that faith has been given and that I still have more faith that comes. But how does that happen? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. How do we live the life of faith in God? So I'm intrigued by the story we just read in Romans. And in Romans, we read about this guy called Abraham, or Abram. And what we read in Romans chapter 4 is Paul's writing to the church in Rome. That's why the book is called Romans. Rome. And I'm clever, aren't I? And he's writing to them. In the context of chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6, he's talking about salvation and how we actually become right with God, and how he begins now to use this man with the name of Abram as the father of faith. And the reason why he does that is because Abraham was 400 years before the law that was given by Moses. And what happens is this. Paul points out the fact that we are made right by God not by following rules and regulations and ticking the boxes, but by us putting our faith, our hope, our trust in the one true and only God, that can save us by grace through faith, not of our own works, lest anyone could boast. You know, if it was because of stuff that we'd done, we could say, well, I get the favor because I did X, Y, Z. It's not like that. It's because faith, righteousness, and grace, they're all gifts from God. A gift is a gift because it's a gift. And so it's a gift. It's given to us. What a glorious gift that we don't have to earn, that we don't have to struggle and strive to get. So if you know the story of Abraham, if you go back to Genesis chapter 12, and in chapter 12, God shows up to a man named Abraham, and he speaks to him, and he says, you've got to come out of your father's house, come out of your family, and I'm going to show you where you should go. And as you go, I will lead you. So leave where you are, and as you leave and begin to go, I'll show you where you should go. If that was you, would you just be like, yeah, right. You're asking me to go somewhere, but you're not telling me where it is. You're not telling me what's ahead of me. What a challenge that would be. But really, that's what God asks us to do every day. To follow his guidance and his promptings and his, you know, we may not necessarily know the whole picture yet, but we do know that if we trust in him, if we lean not on our own understanding, if we follow the ways of the Lord, he's going to lead us to a place that he wants us to go. That's faith. That's faith with Abraham right there. That's the challenge of faith for us today. Faith now is me responding to a word from God, and that I have faith and trust in God, even when I don't understand it with my own intellect, I choose to trust whatever it is that God's saying. That's called faith. But can you imagine somebody comes up to you and says, quit your job. God's got a better job for you. And you're like, in this economic climate, you want me to quit my job and believe that there's a better job, but I don't know what that job is yet. You know, well, I hope God shows me the better one, and then I'll quit my job. Because that what we want is, we want to see the destination before we start the journey. Because there's a comfort in that, isn't there? It's like we talked about the GPS a couple of weeks ago. Like when you know where you're going and it's plugged in and you can see the directions, man, it's easy. But what about if we take that away and God says go there, but we don't plug it into the maps and we just trust? Some of us men might struggle with that, I don't know. A lot of us want to know the destination before we start the journey, but here's the way God is. God says, no, I'm not going to show you the end until you begin to walk out from where you are right now. Real faith says, God, I just got a word from you. I heard something in my spirit, and I heard something inside of here. And I heard God say, do this, and I follow. Even if I don't understand it, even if I don't know what the picture looks like or what it looks like or the journey ahead, I'm going to trust. That's faith. You know, I heard God say, build a commercial kitchen. Now, in the natural, we don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars right now. That'd be nice if we did. But we don't have that in the bank. I don't even think we have millionaires in this church, but if we do, come and see me after the service. We don't have a church of thousands of people. I mean, it's quite packed today, and praise God for that. You're a blessing, each and every one of you that come each Sunday. And if you're visiting today, it's great because you helped fill us up. That's awesome. But we don't have thousands of people here, so I can't say, right, we're going to take an offering and we're going to get hundreds of thousands of dollars. We could if God told us to do that. But what I'm saying is, if you look in the natural and you think, we're going to build a commercial kitchen, you'd be like, yeah, right. How is that happening? We can look at all these things in the natural and then doubt God's ability because of that. And then we miss the blessing of God that he has for us and for our church, because we're limiting ourselves to what we see in the natural. But we sing these songs, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Oh man, that's a nice song. And we worship to it, and it's great. But when it comes to practice and push comes to shove, is that how we're living our lives? What a challenge. God, challenge me today to step out in faith even more, to trust you, even though I can't see in the natural what it's meant to look like or what it will look like. God, I just trust you even more. Because nothing is too hard for him. Faith says, all things are possible for those who love Jesus. Despite our current circumstance, that still rings true. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. So have we got a church today that is full of faith and ready to believe God for the impossible? Are you here?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That was more than three. Normally there's three. There's a few more then. That's good. That encourages me. So I'm just going to preach this just for a second because we've got so much time. We've been so trained by religion. Now hear me out. Don't switch off. Sadly, a lot of the modern day religion teaching in church, it says that anything outside of the realms of understanding can be a hazard to your health. That message is out there. We have to have everything proven didactically. What does that even mean? I don't even know what it means. It just came to me. But no, the truth is I do know what it means. Didactically is a fancy word that can be used this way. You might describe someone's explanation of something as didactical if what they're teaching or the view that they have is fixed and unwilling to change. So in other words, the view that I have, doesn't matter what you tell me and what I say, that's the view. Even if God boomed from the heavens, that's my view. Well, I'm sorry to say, we need to be open to be molded. He's the potter, we are the clay. Don't we need to live a life that's where we're moldable and we can change and we can be challenged and we can have discourse amongst people in the church without wanting to destroy each other and sticking our heels in? My view's right. No, my view's right. No, no, can't we just get together and have an appreciation for one another? And it's okay to think differently on different topics and things. That's okay. But can we maybe be a little bit open and just listen and hear each other out because we may learn something? Or God might prod us and poke us and change our view on a few things, perhaps? It's very quiet in this church all of a sudden. We find ourselves in this place where our attitude says we have to have everything proven to us. And when it's proven, then somehow, someday, I'll begin to now do that which has been proven. But if we live like that, then you wouldn't need faith, would you? Because if everything's proven, well, where's the faith? You don't need it. Well, I've seen it, now I'll live like that. Faith leads us not to a place of observation, where we watch and see something unfold and okay, well now I'll follow that. That doesn't require faith because you've seen it happen. But faith leads us to a person and his name is?
Jesus.
Come on. In the Old Testament, it was a high priest that got to go and talk to God. I'm so glad I didn't live back in those times, far out. Like when Moses went up the hill to Mount Sinai to hear from the Lord and he received the Ten Commandments and the people were too afraid to go and talk to God. So they sent the high priest, or you go to him, you're his friend. You go talk to God. I don't want to go up there. This is God we're talking about. And the people are saying, Moses, you go and talk to him for us. And they would see the actual glory come down from the mountain. And then Moses would walk up into the glory. And the Bible says in the book of Exodus that all the men and women were standing at the doorway of their tent, fearful to walk out of their tent to get closer to the presence of God because they realized that God was holy. And they were not holy. And they said, Moses, you go up, you're his friend. I don't want to go anywhere near that. Let me tell you something, because this is significant to catch this today. And it is true. God is holy, we are unholy. God is perfect, we're not perfect. It's rattled some cages today, I don't know. But we're not perfect. But we no longer need a man or a woman or anyone to now talk to God on our behalf. We don't need that anymore. Because over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came down, perfect Son of God, and made a way for us to have relationship with our God again. When Jesus said it is finished, when he was on the cross, the veil was torn from the top to the bottom, and God's Son, Jesus, became a living sacrifice to obtain mercy on our behalf, and Jesus made a way for you and for me. Aren't you glad for that? So you no longer need me. So I shouldn't have a job, but I do, because pastoring is still an office that I hold. But you don't need me to go to God for you. Are you hearing that today? Look, I'm not saying don't ever come to me and say, hey, pastor, could you pray for this, could you pray for that? Of course we will. But did you know you can too? And did you know that God hears you just as much as he hears me? It's not like I'm a pastor on my little perch and I've got this direct line to God that's a little bit closer because I'm that little bit higher in the realms of whatever the levels are and I get to talk to God more than you. That's not how it works. And if you think like that, break that today, because that's not how it works. We're on a level playing field, you and me. We can go to God and he will hear us. And we can talk to him. You can talk to him just as much as I can talk to him. God now says, I want you to come out of where you grew up. This is what he said to Abraham. This is what he's saying to you. In fact, this is a word for someone here today. God says, I want you to come out of where you grew up, all the things that you've known, all the things that you're familiar with, all the stuff that you've to this point has been your basis and foundation. He wants you to come out of that. Because true conversion will take you from what and where you've been, and you may not even know it, but over time, you'll walk out from where you've been and you get taken on this amazing, magnificent journey into the unknown, to where God wants you to be. But there needs to be a coming out for you to walk into that. There needs to be a letting go or a release from the past, the mistakes, the chains that have held you before, whatever that's going on in your past. God's calling you, just like he called Abraham. Come out of your family, everything you've ever known, and go to this place. Well, God's saying that to you today. Come out of what you know. Come out of what's comfortable. Come out of what's familiar, and trust me and step into the unknown and see what I'll do. God now says, I want you to come out. So it's going to be a coming out. You walk out of old habits. You walk out of strongholds. You walk out of the old place from where you once were from, and into a new position and place when God calls you. And he brings you out of something to bring you into something. And that something is you. You come out of to go into. And we don't understand it in our natural minds, and we're not meant to, because it wouldn't be faith then, would it? It makes no sense in our natural mind, but because the Holy Spirit is now leading and guiding us, it all feels right. We don't need things proven to us, because the Holy Spirit's wisdom is now guiding us into a new place, a new realm that just feels right. And it's a place that we call faith in God. God's word is our foundation for this, not our feelings. If it was our feelings, we would all crumble. How many of you know that one day you're up here on the mountaintop and the next day you're in the valley? Because we're people and life happens and you can't control what comes at you. You can control how you respond. And that's our ongoing, for all of us, challenge in daily life. We're going to be hit with stuff that we don't like. It's going to make us uncomfortable. It's going to make us uneasy. It's going to make us angry or frustrated or whatever those emotions are that we've all felt. Unless it's just me. Am I the only person that has challenges in my opinion? Okay. We're going to go through those seasons, okay? Ups and downs. That's why God's word must be our foundation for our faith. The promise of God depends on two things. Number one, it depends on faith. Trusting in God, not in my own strength and abilities and flesh and things that I can do, but trusting in the God that maybe I can't see or feel what he's doing, but I know he's at work and he's leading me somewhere. The second thing is it depends on his grace, God's favor and power to accomplish that which he puts before us. God is so full of grace and graciousness and kindness towards us that he leads us to a place and then he gives us what we need to get through it. How good is that? Yeah. Thank you, God, for your grace. The key point here is that God promises when we depend on him and we trust in him, it rests then not on us anymore, but on God's ability to bring whatever it is to pass. So God leads us. And then grace is the anchor of our faith. As we rest in God's grace, faith can now grow. So this grace is an anchor to my soul, that I trust in God that he will give me whatever it is I need, emotionally, physically, whatever it is. So God speaks this promise to Abraham, Romans 4:17. We've read it already, but he says, I've made you a father of many nations. This is before it even happened, when God first said this. God has made him the father of many nations, despite his age, despite his wife's condition. And God declares what is to come as though it is. Because that's how God declares, isn't it? He speaks things into being. Think of creation. Let there be light. And there was. So when he speaks it, it comes. God's promise is the evidence of what he has promised. In other words, God says, I'm with you, and that means, wait for it, he is with you. So deep, right? If God says, I'm with you, and how many times did he say that in his word? He is with you. That's a promise. Not that he's possibly going to be with you if it fits into his schedule, or maybe one day he'll be with you, or just give him a bit of time because he's playing catch up with a million other people's requests, but he'll get to you shortly. Thank you for your patience. No, it's not like that. If the Bible says he is with you, he is with you. It's that literal. God tells Abram that he has made him the father of many nations, yet the physical reality is that he's old and his wife's barren. What he sees doesn't line up with what God says, but even when I don't see it, you are working. Even when I don't feel it, you are working. So God does two things. He raises dead things back to life. Hallelujah. That means if you've walked into the room today and your dream is gone and dead, maybe you're feeling useless inside. God's in the business of raising, we use the word today with the word restoring. He's a restoring God. He wants to raise you back to life today. He wants to invigorate you around your dreams again. He wants to awaken something within each and every one of you because it's his vision that he placed in you in the beginning. And God doesn't change his mind. Aren't you glad about that? We do, but he doesn't change his mind. God calls those things that be not as though as they are. God speaks the non-existent into existence. The Creator brings into existence all that is from that which never was. Anything less than that, I guess, would be adaptation. So God's a creator, not an evolver. That's the creation versus evolution debate, which will rage on forever. But we know that God created, right? So things weren't created and then they adapted and mutated and whatever. No, God made things and that's how they're made, because God's a creating God. Anything less is adaptation, which speaks against the sovereignty of Lord that he creates. You know, we need to grow stronger in our faith and trust in our creating God, that he will speak things into being, raise them from the dead back to life. And then he calls those things that be not as though they are. What a powerful God we serve. Abraham believed against all hope, and he did not waver in his belief. Romans 4:18-21. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, old 100 years, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. See, after looking at the natural, there was no hope. Not when you looked at the natural in that situation. Abraham's old uterus. But his hope was anchored to God and his ability to accomplish what he said. He didn't waver in unbelief, but he stood in faith. You know, the word waver comes from a word meaning judge. So he did not let unbelief begin to judge the ability of God. He was not going to be in trial or become a judge on the goodness of God. That's not the position he wanted to put himself in. Well, you know, let's just see what happens and then we'll know if God. No. Abraham grew stronger in his faith, not by willpower, but rather perspective. Abraham's faith was empowered as he looked at God. His perspective was God. That's all he knew. Because the alternative was, well, if God is God, I believe what he says. But if he's not God, I look at my wife with who's barren, and I look at my age, and I think, there ain't no way we're having kids. But his perspective was through the God lens. Faith is always strong or weak, depending how we perceive the object of our faith. So is God strong in our eyes? If he is, we'll have strong faith. But if God's weak in our eyes, our faith will be weak. Let's get really practical. I'm going to wrap this up and miraculously finish before 11. How do we grow stronger in faith? There's 5 R's. It's a good way to remember it. 5 R's. We rehearse all that Jesus has accomplished. How do you do that? You read the Word of God. The Gospels are a good place to start. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, read about the miracles, etc. You reflect on Jesus' character, or what does the Bible say about who he is? And then you recite God's promises. Well, what does the Word of God say about this situation? And then you remember what God has done in your life. What's your testimony? What's he done for you in this area? if he hasn't done an interview in this area, well, what's he done for someone you know? Then lean on perhaps their story. But many of us have had encounters with God and he's done stuff over the years that we can draw on and go, well, if he's done it before, he'll do it again. If he's done it for me, he'll do it for that person. And then rest in God's timing. That's probably where many of us struggle, because that requires patience. And realizing that it's not on our calendar or our agenda, but we have to trust that God is a God of faithfulness and it will come to pass in his good time. So this is really practical stuff. So I hope you've jotted that down. I've taken a photo of it because it's going to help you. Let me give you an example. All right, someone's sick and needs healing. So what do? We rehearse all that Jesus has accomplished. Well, there's so many stories where people are healed. In the Bible, I think of the woman with the issue of blood for so long in her life, bleeding, struggling. And all she had to do, she had faith, right? Just touch the hem of Jesus' garment because she knew he was the healer. And if I could just touch him, the power I know is going to set me free from this problem that I have. And that's what happened. And Jesus recognized whatever. He's like, who touched me? He knew something just happened in the spiritual realm. And I just want to know who did it. I'd be freaking out because I didn't want to admit it. I'm like, sorry, guys. But anyway, it wasn't like that. He just blessed her and said, go and sin no more. You've been healed. Okay, so that's rehearsing what Jesus can do. Jesus can heal anything, right? Anyone. Even just from someone touching his garment. Okay, so reflect on Jesus' character. He has a heart and a desire for people to be whole. The word of God tells us by his stripes, Jesus' stripes, we are healed. And so we're reflecting on Jesus' character and we're reciting God's promise. Well, the promise says, by his stripes we are healed. So we've rehearsed, we've reflected, we've recited. Then we remember what God's done in our life. I remember a time when I was going to a worship kind of event. It was like a worship band that was playing and leading like a 1.5 hour, whatever time of worship. And I was excited for it because, I'm a muso, I sing and stuff. So this is in my early 20s. I'm quite a young Christian. Got saved when I was 17, so I think this was about when I was 21. And I was so pumped for this concert, and I woke up that morning like this. Who's woken up like that, with a stiff neck, and like you literally can't move. Like it was worse than this, because I can't actually bend that front. But it was like, and I couldn't move. And can you imagine going to a music concert like this? Woo! It sucks. So I wasn't happy. I was really disappointed. I was really upset that I was like this on the day of the concert. I'm like, I've been so excited about this, and now I can't even really go because I'm like this and I'm in pain. Like even trying to move it, like there's a twinge and pain and shot down the body, whatever. I was just frustrated. Anyway, my friend came and picked me up and saw me like this. And I said, what's wrong with you? So I just woke up like that. This is how I am. And I said, well, you can't come to the concert like that. I said, I know. I'm really devastated. I'm upset. And he goes, all right, let's pray. Just laid hands on it. And all of a sudden, it was hot. His hand was hot. It wasn't his hand. The Holy Spirit did something. He just laid a hand on it. He said, in Jesus' name, be healed. This isn't your lot today. You're coming to this concert because you want to praise God and have an awesome time. And so I speak healing in the name of Jesus. Well, by the time that the prayer had finished, far out, I could move and do this. And from that moment on, I've known that God still heals today. Don't listen to those people that say, oh, it was only when Jesus was on the planet that happened. God can heal just as much today as he can when Jesus was here. And so we've rehearsed, we've reflected, we've recited, we've remembered, and then we rest in God's timing. Praise God for me, it was that day because I wanted to enjoy the concert, not like this, but actually being free in my body to be able to praise. But we rest in his timing. The scripture says in Hebrews 6:12 that we inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. And this is the key for us to understand. Faith is trusting in God. God is with me, God is for me. Patience is trusting in God's timing. We struggle with that one. But when we settle these things in our heart and minds, then we will inherit what God has promised for us. Even then, my faith is tied to outlook, not outcome. That's a dangerous place to be. If your faith is dictated to what you see in the natural with the outcome, it's a dangerous place to be. A great man of God once said that you can't let your practical, physical experience dictate to your faith. Because if we do, that's a dangerous place to go. We need to be building our faith from God's word and his promises and what he's done. Have a look at this picture. It's pretty awesome. Abraham counted God as faithful, who promised and fulfilled. Come on up, Jeremy, we're going to finish. In the Bible, God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. I checked out all the stars now, so I like this image. It's pretty cool. He'd be the father of many nations. He'd have descendants as numerous as the stars and be given a specific piece of land. The promise is known as the Abrahamic covenant. And Abraham, we know, he ends up having a son. He ends up being blessed. And he ends up coming into a new land. Exactly what God said was going to happen, happened. Even though it didn't look like it at the time, or perhaps that wasn't revealed, or what, how the steps, each step, Abraham just followed in faith. Well, then there's this other guy, his name's David. He takes on Goliath. David knew that God was faithful, and that he would keep his promises. And David knew that God had promised Abraham and Israel. David believed that God would not let him die before becoming king. He had all these promises, he just knew. David believed that God would reward him for defeating Goliath. David's faith and courage allowed him to face Goliath and win. David says the giant is fighting against God. He says, God has delivered me before and he will do it again. I took on a bear, I took on whatever else, and he's never let me down. I've never lost. And so this giant, he's going down. You got that right. He says, God has delivered me before and he will do it again. He says, God will give him victory just like he has before. He's going to do it again. He says, and then he moves into action. I think even that picture doesn't do justice to just how small David was and how big Goliath was. But in faith, David picks up the stone. Walking towards this big giant, this big problem. In your life, it's your problem. It's your challenge. It's your whatever it is that you struggle with the most. That's your Goliath. The thing that you struggle to overcome in your own strength and you need God to release you and set you free. Whatever that is, that's your Goliath. And David approaches this Goliath with this stone in hand. And then he lets it rip. Wouldn't it be awesome to see it? Like in slow motion, here we can do slow-mo videos today. That could have been way more dramatic, but for the sake of time. God wants you to pick up this little stone called faith today. Now, I don't know how this little stone's going to take out that big ugly giant, but I'm going to chuck it in my little slingshot. And I'm going to let it rip. And I'm going to trust God that you are going to take down my Goliath. That I'm going to be victorious because of Jesus going before me, not because of anything I've done, not because I love him so much he's going to come through for me, but God loves you so much that he wants to take down your Goliath. He wants to give you the faith. He wants to see you victorious. Let's stand in his presence. Here's how we're closing out today. The one way to stand in faith and take out your Goliath is obviously to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We need Jesus. We can't do this in our own strength. So if you're in this place today and maybe you've never committed your life to Christ, maybe you've never said, oh, Jesus, I need you. More than the air that I breathe, I need you. I've sinned, I've made mistakes, I've made bad choices, I've done the wrong thing, I've lived a life that's not pleasing to you or even to myself, but God, I need you now. I want to start this process that we've talked about today and sung about it, refining. I want you to take out the impurities from me. Only you can do that, Jesus. I can't do it myself. Because when I do, and I get rid of one impurity, I find another 10. And then when I try and get rid of them, there's another 20 over here. I can't do it in my own strength. Only Jesus can make you free from your impurities. So if you need to be released today from that burden, that weight you've been carrying, and maybe you've not lived your life for Jesus before, or maybe you have and you've gone away from him, the word of the Lord today to you is come home. Come home to me and let me cleanse you and purify you and let's make a new start. Let's come out of where we've been and move forward towards where I want you to be. So if that's you and you need Jesus, just lift up your hand right now. We're going to pray as a church together. Yeah, I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see those hands. Excellent. Excellent. We're going to pray. And you know what? It's not a fancy special prayer. Don't put your hope in the prayer because I'm making it up. So look out. Put your faith in Jesus. There's a true transformation that happens in your heart when your heart is in the right place. And the prayer is simply partnering with that change that's happening right now because of the Holy Spirit touching you. So everyone pray with me. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you came and that you died for us, that we could be cleansed and made free and made whole. We can't live like that without you. So we acknowledge you as our Lord, who conquered sin and death, who conquered the grave, rose again victorious, so that I could be victorious. So I thank you for your blood poured out for me. I thank you for your broken body. And I choose to believe in all that you've done. And will live my life for you all of my days. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give God praise. Pray for people now, very quickly. Maybe you need a change of perspective. Maybe the way you've seen God has, to this point, limited him in being able to work in and through you. And all it takes is a perspective shift. We talked about it with Abraham. His perspective was simply God, because that's all he knew. But see, for us, I wish it was that simple, if we could just know God. But we live in a world that's broken and fallen, and all the solutions and remedies and e-books and self-help and counseling and all these things. And I'm not belittling any of that. That's all great. But at the end of the day, true transformation comes when our eyes are fixed on Jesus. And so I want to pray for people this morning that are believing for a perspective shift in your world today. If that's you, just lift up your hand. You're in a safe place because you're in church. And everyone around you loves you, even if you don't know them yet. If you see someone near you that has a hand raised, can you lay hands on them? I can't get around to everyone, but just lay hands on them. Anyone that has a hand raised, if you haven't got it high enough, put it high so people can see. So I want to make sure everyone that has raised their hand right now has a hand laid on them. Alright, I think we're good. Holy Spirit, renew our minds today. Give us a fresh perspective of who you are. That we can be victorious because of what Christ has done. That when we fix our eyes on him and that victory, everything shifts in our own world and life, because the things of earth grow strangely dim when we turn our eyes upon Jesus. And so right now, I just pray for my brothers and sisters that have their hands raised, that you would bring a perspective shift right now. By the power of your Holy Spirit, that they would be reminded that you are a God that loves them so much, that you sent Jesus, you love them so much, that you are enabling them to be overcomers, and not because of our own strength, but because of everything you are doing in our lives. So Holy Spirit, seal that work today, bring that fresh perspective, open up eyes that need to be opened, reveal truth that needs to be revealed. Lord, show us the way you would have us go, as we fix our eyes on you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One more thing I want to pray for. I know it's 11 o'clock. You'll give me 2 more minutes, right? I think all of us need this, but I'm not making that decision for you. Increase in faith. If you want your faith to increase, lift up your hands. Holy Spirit, come and touch your people today. Help our limited minds understand an unlimited God, our finite thoughts and abilities. Help us to understand the infinite nature of who you are and what you want to do in and through our lives. God, I pray that you would increase our faith to believe for even greater things. Let us not be comfortable with where we are at, but Lord, motivate us, encourage us, Lord, expand our thinking that we may have even greater faith. Lord, you promise that even if we have faith just as a mustard seed, Lord, we will see mountains move. Increase our faith today, Lord God. Encourage us and help us by the power of your Holy Spirit. I commit each person to you, that you would lead us and guide us this week into even greater exploits that we can believe for, because you have stirred up our faith today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Give God one more praise. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Deb, say hello. Come here and use this. Come here. We need to hear Deb's little voice. You can sit if you want.
So,
is that on red? It's on. Let's talk.
So yesterday I got over to Carama after being called. My dad was to the point of almost unconsciousness. He couldn't talk. He was on oxygen. My dad never goes to bed. Never. Let alone any singlet where people can see him. So I put a thing on Vineyard that could everybody please pray for my dad. Dad's best mate and neighbour has literally just gone into Carramar as well. Now, he hasn't been up to see Dad, but probably once since he went in. Appeared at Dad's door yesterday, came in, prayed with my dad, and there were two very teary elderly gentlemen which set me off. I've just taken a photo from the screen, and on my phone I saw there was two missed calls from the aged care facility, and my heart sank, which is why I went outside. The calls were to tell me that Dad has made a complete recovery from yesterday. He's sitting up, he's dressed, he's back in his chair, and he's talking about going out there for lunch today. So praise God for that miracle.
So good. And don't ever think that whatever it is you're facing, oh, there's so many more important things out there that God should be doing. That's our finite nature. The infinite nature is God can and will answer whatever the desire of your heart is and what your need is for your family. So don't hesitate to reach out to him just like that and trust that God's going to bring along the right person, like, to enter the facility that can then go and pray and then see what happens in 24 hours, because God's good like that. And so be committed, people of faith, believing that whatever it is you're facing, God is going to direct you. He may not tell you how, he might not give you the exact direction or steps, but just keep moving forward. And you'll move from your valley, this place of challenge and difficulty, to your mountaintop, which is your victory. Amen?
Amen.